So Graham does remove his jacket and his shirt. So he is now shirtless in the elevator with a hot hockey player.
In dress pants and some fancy shoes.
Probably. He does have a bow tie that he does remove. And I was like, what if you just kept that on?
I was just going to ask if he had a tie or a bow tie and if perhaps he could put that on without the shirt and the tux.
Just a like, little
for fun.
Just a little, just a little Chippendales just moment.
A
little,
as a garnish.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hey, welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
That right there is my friend Sarah, and I think she loves books, but I'm not sure.
Ooh, and I think that's Hope. Last time I checked, she still likes to talk to me.
I hate it.
Grateful you're here.
I hate it now, and I'm not doing it anymore.
Goodbye. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. I want to say this before I say happy pride and get into our book today. We are Midwesterners, no one knew by this point. And I always hate doing the intro of our podcast because I hate saying the word literary because I think I say it wrong. And I was talking to somebody about accents this week, and I work with a lot of East Coast people, and they were like, Midwesterners tend to drop consonants that they don't use, or they replace them with easier to say consonants.
Interesting.
So I'm like, I think I'm dropping an R when I say literary. Like I think I'm like accidentally like rolling over it too much.
Or maybe the T is not really as strong as it could be.
Yeah. But I'm also like, it doesn't feel natural to say literary.
No, it sounds like more the D, like literary.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was another one that we were talking, another word we were using, and I was like, yeah, I just kind of graze over it. You just throw in some consonants that aren't supposed to be there.
I just kind of say the letters I like best.
Yeah, yeah, what makes sense to me, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I realized that like I hate saying that intro because I hate saying the word literary because it sounds wrong to me. And then I'm like, this makes sense why it happens the way it happens.
We could say a reading podcast for readers and non-readers.
People who can consume words and project them back to other people.
That feels too long. A podcast for literates and literates who aren't passionate about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Podcast about reading. Period. Full stop.
Book podcast.
Book podcast, but you don't have to love books.
Welcome to Say Smut Book Podcast Plus.
Yeah. Plus.
Plus.
The membership version.
Plus
the
talking.
Top tier membership version. Okay. Well, to get into today's book, I feel bad because last episode I did not say happy pride. And that felt very homophobic of me as a bisexual.
That's actually, we have to go to jail. And you don't get to be bisexual anymore. Is
officer over here. Right here.
Arrest her now.
Well, we're making up for that because I found a plethora of very queer, very fun books. And we're starting a little softer today because I kind of got, I won't lie, I got a little emo with this book. This was for a 50-page smutty book. This had a lot of heart to it.
Yeah, all up in your feelings.
Yeah, I was a little in my feelings. Maybe it was also right before my mentee bee I had yesterday. And I also, you know, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning when I read it. So who knows?
But... Well, I'm in the midst of some mentistration, so maybe it'll get me in my feels too.
That's fair. I think you'd have to read it to get all the, you know, mentee feelings, but we'll check on that later.
Okay.
But we are going to read today Elevator Pitch by A.M. Johnson and Christina Lee. So I want to disclose that this book was actually originally published in a collection of stories called Vegas Baby. So you can already probably see where we're going to go physically on the map.
I hope it's Vegas or I'm going to be confused.
It is, in fact, Vegas. But before I go too far in, I want to give content warnings. And as always, if any of these things are not your jam and you want to subscribe, come back, join us later. We'd be happy to have you. But we do have kind of, we talk about homophobia, but there's no specific, like as a concept, but not necessarily any specific homophobia on the page.
Sure.
There's also some kind of claustrophobia concepts too. And then there is sexual content as always. So StoryGraph, it has a 3.7. In Goodreads, it has a 3.8. So some high marks pretty across good. The board. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you a little bit about our two authors. So here are their descriptions from their bios. A.M. Johnson, I guess her name is Amanda. Amanda is an award-winning and best-selling author of LGBTQIA and contemporary romance and fiction. She lives in New Hampshire with her family, where she moonlights as a nurse on the weekends and hikes as much as possible. If she's not busy with her kiddos, you'll find her buried in a book or behind the keyboard, where she explores the human experience through the written word, exploring all spectrums and genres. She's obsessed with all things hockey, Austin, and Oreos, and loves to connect with readers.
Wonderful.
You couldn't catch me dead outside. So happy for your hiking.
I went outside, Amanda, a little bit today, and it was like, too hot, too much.
It's like 95 degrees in the Midwest today. So Christina Lee lives near Lake Erie in Northeast Ohio. Respectfully, Christina, I will not consider that the Midwest. I'm sorry. It's nothing personal, Christina.
Shots thrown on this podcast.
I struggle with Ohio being in the Midwest. I really do. Okay, sorry. I don't mean to slam you, Christina.
Is it because people call Iowa Ohio sometimes?
No, I just think it's too far east.
Sure.
I think it's too far east. I think they appropriate our culture, but they're not really in the Midwest.
I can't really tell anymore because I went to a Big Ten college, and Big Ten stretches now fully from the East Coast to the West Coast.
I know. So, like, yeah.
There's like 10 million teams, not 10.
We really threw up the cards on that one and said, fuck it. We're just going to let anybody do anything.
It's all the Midwest if you believe in yourself.
Can't confirm, can't co-sign that theory. But I will tell you that Christina, like I said, lives near Lake Erie, and her writing life happens somewhere between a cup of strong coffee and a glass of good red. She writes steamy slow burns with plenty of swoon, because who doesn't melt for those small tender moments or grand sweeping gestures? She has books available through Penguin Random House, as well as self-published works in different subgenres of romance, including LGBTQ community, including the LGBTQ community, because representation matters and everyone deserves a happily ever after.
Yes.
Claps. Or snaps. I said claps. Immediately snaps.
Claps. Insert snapping noise here.
So now that we know more about our fun authors, let's jump into elevator pitch. Like I said, we're in Vegas. What do people say about Vegas, Hope?
Well, what happens there stays there is one thing I've heard about Vegas. I've also heard if you're not into gambling, it's not necessarily the most fun.
Yeah, but they have really great shows there. So yes,
many great shows.
So we are headed to Vegas, and what happens here, I don't know. Will it stay here?
Apparently not, because we're about to talk about a whole book about what happened in Vegas. So
that is true. Whether this is based on a true story or not, we couldn't say. But we are actually going to a Las Vegas wedding.
Beautiful.
So you know it's going to be spicy. Plus, it's with the gays. So it's going to be wild. Our main character, one of our two main characters, is Graham, who is the best man at his friend's wedding. Uh-huh. Picture this. We are in kind of a wedding venue within a hotel, like a very fancy hotel on the Strip.
Yeah. Like a conference room in a fancy hotel on the Strip.
Yeah, but it's completely been overdone with decorations because the grooms who are getting married are very, very, they spent a pretty penny. Let's just say that. And they went for a Venetian theme. Okay. Mm-hmm. So think of all the gold, brassy kind of decor.
Sure.
They've got even fluffy clouds.
Wow.
And they have real gondolas. Your eyes are so wide right now.
Well, I guess I don't know about what water structure they're using the real gondolas in. Are they just real gondolas sitting stationary in a hotel conference room?
Maybe it's where the food is. Like, the could you imagine
like a sushi boat, but it's a gondola and maybe not sushi because it's Venetian themed?
Exactly.
Wow.
Or it could be Midwest sushi and be like the pickle wraps. Oh,
I love those. Those are my favorite snacks.
That sounds so good right now. I have not been hungry all day. Like, I can't figure out what I'm in the mood for. And now I'm like, do I just want a good ass pickle wrap?
I could house like 500 little pieces of pickle with cream cheese and ham. Oh, so
fuck it up.
Damn.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, have you ever gone to a wedding and really reflected on your own relationship or lack of?
Sure. Yeah. I've been to a lot of weddings single, so I definitely was reflecting on my lack of relationship then. I wouldn't say that I go to weddings now and like compare it to my relationship, but generally, as I've been in a couple and gone to weddings, when you're in like a fun, lovey place, you're just like, I just love. love.
I'm not trying to be like a Scrooge or a Grinch about weddings, but I am a little love-hate relationship because I think I'm just selfish with my time that I'm like, we are also from the Midwest where I feel like everybody invites everybody's to weddings. And so sometimes you get an invite that you're like, I don't really need to go to this person's wedding. They sent it to be nice, but like, should I go? I'm like, no, I really only want to go to weddings of people that I really care about, because if I'm going to sit there and have a crisis about my lack of relationship status and how much I love the couple and how much I love that they found love, but I am also 29 and not in that phase of my life yet. Like, you know what I mean? I need to feel like I'm going to commit 10 hours to this wedding situation, you know, especially if it's out of town, then you got to get a hotel, you know, all the things. But we are now with our main character, Graham, and he's kind of reflecting on this. Okay. He's thinking about how he loves his friends who are getting married, and he wants to find a life partner, but he just hasn't been able to. And his friends claim that his problem is that he goes for unavailable men, but he's not sure if this is quite accurate. So he kind of regroups himself, and we're kind of thinking about all of the things that we've got to do this week, right? He's the best man. We're going to have the wedding. Then we're going to have the reception. Then we have a few days of sightseeing, and then we're going to go back home to Seattle. And he's like kind of going through his mental checklist of what he's got to do as a best man. Then he realizes he forgot something essential to a wedding.
If it's the rings, I'm going to freak out.
It is, in fact, the rings.
Cool.
The way you were like, that was the most disappointing answer.
Right.
But the good thing is he's staying in the hotel that they're having the wedding in. So he's like, I don't know where we're exactly at with the wedding yet. Like, if he's literally
rehearsal dinner, is it hours before the wedding?
No, I think it's actively happening because he's wearing a tux and everything.
That's crazy.
Okay. So I'm like, is the ceremony started, or is this before the ceremony?
Are you lined up right now?
he claims he's like, I'm just going to sprint up to my room real quick, grab them, and then come back down. No one will notice.
And he's just like, I got to be at the back of this line anyway.
Yeah. So he thinks, I've got time. I'm just going to run. So he runs out of the room, sprints across the lobby to where there's like a bay of all the elevator doors, right? And he sees one closing and he goes, hold the door. And the person obviously holds the door for them. And when he gets in, he's like panting. He's like holding his knees bent over. And then he's like, can you punch floor 14? And the guy's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, manly man. And so when Graham kind of gets himself together, he kind of straightens up and he realizes that he is sharing the elevator with one of the hottest men he's ever seen in his life.
Wow.
Unexpected. I know. But just suspend that disbelief because they are getting higher and higher on this elevator. Like I said,
they are.
So they're going up and he's about to get to his floor. So he's kind of like, I got to stop ogling this man. And just as they're about to hit his floor, the elevator lurches to a stop. The lights flicker and they go out. Have you ever been trapped in an elevator before?
No, but my sister has.
Oh my gosh.
In college. Yeah, in her dorm. So funny.
That's horrible.
Not funny to the person it's happening to. Only funny to everybody else.
Yes. I know people who have gotten stuck in elevators, but I have not, in fact, gotten stuck in an elevator. And I pray, knock on wood, to never have it happen. Okay. I have been keeping a piece of information from you.
I can't believe you'd do that to me.
It was horribly storming outside. Okay. When he was waiting for the wedding to begin.
Now you got to be careful, because if lightning strikes an elevator tower, this will be the second time we've had, Tower of Terror story plotline. And I yes. can't do this twice.
Well, I can confirm we don't really know if I don't think that happened exactly. But you're right. I'm keeping good tabs on our plots. Graham and this guy start talking because obviously if you are now standing in pitch darkness with another human being, you're probably going to talk about the fact that the elevator just stopped, right?
Seems like the elevator's broken.
So they're like, oh, you know, the storm must have taken it out and like, we'll just have to wait for it to come back on. And Graham realizes that the wedding is kind of fucked. And this guy is like,
I've ruined this wedding for my friends.
Look, this wedding's totally fucked now. And this guy's like, is that why you're in a tux? And Graham's like, yeah. And the mystery man's like, is your bride waiting somewhere for you? And Graham is quick to correct that it's his friend's wedding and that he forgot the rings and that's why he was running up to the room. Mm-hmm. So Graham tries to call his friend, but they have no service. So immediately cross that off the list. Not an option.
Not able to call the authorities. Although, never mind. Just tell me what they do next.
Would you like to tell me your thoughts?
It's not important.
Okay. I would argue it is, but they do kind of take stock of their situation of like, okay, what do we have going for us? They do have the phone's flashlight that they can use, but they kind of decide to keep those off so that they don't use too much battery and waste it all, you know. They can get the door slightly open, but it looks like they're between floors, so they only have a tiny gap on like the upper floor that they're trying to like yell through. Anyway, they try to yell. No one comes.
At least activate the buttons inside the elevator one should press when it gets stuck? I know the power has gone out, but seemingly at some point it would notify someone.
I'm so glad you asked this because it was my next bullet point. I'm going to let you know right now that this elevator is completely fucked because they don't really have anything working that should be done during emergency. Okay. I think they press like the emergency button and that buzzes for somebody, you know, but there's like no phone, you know, there's no like emergency light that's kicking on, nothing like that. So Graham kind of sighs and says, oh, poor Jason Rob, because that's his friends. And the mystery man goes, are those your friends? And Graham says, yeah, the grooms. And then the mystery man says, the grooms? Oh, okay, I get it. And this kind of makes Graham feisty. He's like, yeah, two guys getting married. It's legal now for us gays. And mystery man was like, of course, I knew that since 2014. And Graham quickly corrects him that it was actually 2015. Unless you live in the state of Iowa, then it was 2009.
Don't worry. They're trying to take it back.
Shut up. We're not bringing those vibes in right now.
You can continue.
Yourself.
That was a hate crime that I just committed.
That was.
I'm really sorry.
So it's clear that Mystery Man is just trying to make conversation at this point, and Graham is just kind of being sharp with his responses. And Mystery Man says, did I do something to offend you? And Graham says, no, sorry, like, my bad. I think it's just my automatic defense mechanism to people thinking straight is the default, which snaps.
Claps
all around. Then there's a really long, awkward silence. And again, they're just standing in the dark. Okay.
Just pitch black.
Yeah. And the mystery man says, how do you know I'm straight?
Well, good point.
And he kind of says it as like a quiet, shaky confession. And Graham admits that he's like, yeah, I did kind of assume that you were straight and like, my bad. And mystery man says, it's okay. Like, he's not really out yet. And he really can't ever come out because of his profession. And then he kind of shakes himself and is like, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. This is like really weird. We're just strangers, right? Oversharing. Just coming out to a stranger in an elevator. So then Graham assures him, like, it's okay. I know we're just like standing in the dark during this like crisis situation. So whatever. It's kind of like, you know, when people can confess things on that show on Netflix, like Love is Blind, because they're not looking at each other face to face.
Yeah.
And then they have like, that's a great reference to make. But Graham asks the man what his profession is that would make him unable to come out. Mm-hmm. And the man kind of gets a little uncomfortable and he's like, I thought you recognized me because you were like staring at me when you came in. And he's like, I was not staring at you for that reason. And he's like, I'm actually a goalie. And Graham's like soccer? And the man kind of laughs and he's like, no, I play for a hockey team out of Colorado. Then they kind of trade introductions and Mystery Man says his name is Caleb Burnside. Mm-hmm. In return, Graham shares that his name is Graham Adler. Okay. So this is, like I said, a 50-page book, and it's quite a lot of dialogue between these two strangers just in the dark.
They have to get to know each other before anything else untoward may or may not happen in this elevator.
Precisely. So I will say that there are a lot of little mini conversations I'm leaving out.
Sure.
But it's very cute. And so when we switch perspectives, and now we are looking from Caleb's internal dialogue, mm-hmm. He says, quote, oh, the fucking irony. He doesn't have a clue who I am, but I sure as fuck know who he is.
Wow.
Plot twist. Do you want to guess how Caleb would recognize Graham?
Is it from hiding in a gay bar when he was trying to find himself, but not wanting to be seen because he's an NHL hockey player?
That's an interesting take.
I don't know what Graham does really that would make him be knowable to everybody.
Exactly. I think that's what I'm going for.
I was hoping
here.
Maybe that Graham was a go-go dancer.
That would be incredible.
It would be incredible.
But I will remind you that they also, he's from Seattle and Caleb is from Colorado. So they don't even live in the same city. So,
no.
But, when he is not working his sales rep job, Graham has a culinary social media account that's actually really popular.
He's an influencer.
Yeah, but like not a huge, massive one, but it's a good account, right?
Influential enough to expand into Colorado.
I mean, who knows? Coloradoans,
they love food. They love gay food.
Gay food. So anyway, he actually 6 months ago, Caleb found his account and became kind of a mega fan. And he's trying to like play it cool that he's stuck in this elevator with the super hot chef that he's been kind of thirsting over for the last couple of months. And Caleb doesn't bring it up at first because like the two men are commiserating over the heat that is now settling in this small box that they are in.
A box of their own breath.
Yes. And Caleb decides to mention, quote, I figured you'd be used to the heat since you're always in the kitchen.
Got him.
And this kind of lights up Graham because he's like, oh my gosh, you watch my video. You know who I am? And they go into this real fun conversation about like recipes and what he's tried of Graham's. And internally, Caleb says, quote, the chopping, the sizzle, those sexy hands kneading dough. What can I say? It gets me going.
Gets you going.
As a baker, how do you feel about that statement?
I mean, to each their own, I guess, is what I would say to that.
Yeah, that's fair. And now I kind of want to know what kind of account Graham has, because he's like, he's a sexy guy, right? And like, he's obviously knows what he's doing, but we've all seen those like thirst trap accounts of like,
is he a guy who happens to be hot and also happens to be a chef, or is he a guy who is specifically trying to be a hot chef
and doing
it's honestly just a lot of close-up shots of spanking of food.
Yeah, that is actually very true. It doesn't sound like it's that deep, but I think he's actually like kind of serious about it. But Caleb admits that he tried to make one of the recipes that he had posted for his teammates, but it kind of flopped. And then the teammates started calling him Betty, as in like Betty Crocker.
Oh my God, so embarrassing.
Well, but it bothers him because he thinks it's like a gay joke.
Sure.
And he's worried that somebody on the team knows and they're trying to mock him in some way.
Sure.
So this enters us into a prolonged conversation about how there are no openly gay characters. There are no openly gay players in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And while statistically this would be impossible, he has been worried about what it would mean for his career if he ever came out. So he's kind of been like this monk, celibate, shut-in who just like works really hard at his career. So like when the guys are going out after the game and like hitting up girls at the bar, he's like, couldn't be there.
Yeah, he's a hockey priest. He can't.
couldn't. Oh my God, that's a book that we should definitely have. Hockey priest.
Is it about a hockey playing priest, or is it about the love between a hockey player and a priest? I don't know.
I think it's a priest who loves hockey and has a double life.
In a lusty and sinful way.
Yes. And then there's a hockey stick. No, it's okay, sentient. We've already done that one. So anyway, but he says like it feels like the years are getting harder and harder on him because he feels like he's kind of drowning from hiding who he is. And it's a very, very touching conversation. So at this time, I'd like you to let us know what is the current situation with out LGBTQ members in sports.
It's not great, Sarah. Welcome to Hope's report titled "The NHL is Too Straight to Function." Now, of course, there are out gay athletes, especially out gay athletes in women's sports. There are some in men's sports, not a ton, but you know, like your Tom Daley in diving, your Gus Kenworthy. There is a guy named Carl Nassib, and he was one of the first out football players, I believe. I don't know if he still plays, though. That's going to kind of be a theme. Before getting into my actual research, though, Sarah asked me to specifically look into in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much to NPR and ESPN and CNN and the NHL website for all the information I'm about to share. Are there any out players in the NHL? No, not really.
Oi.
Not really ones that are actively playing and actively out. Sorry.
Got it.
In 2021, then 19-year-old hockey player Luke Prokop came out, and he, at the time, was the first player under a contract with an NHL team to come out. At the time, he was under contract for the Nashville Predators, but was going to play for a smaller team. I find all of this a little bit confusing because, from what I can tell, he never actually got to play for an NHL team. So, like, he was under this contract for the Predators, and it was really exciting to have someone signed under an NHL team come out and be out. But I looked on his NHL like stats page, and he's only ever been on the rosters of smaller league teams, like the WHL Edmonton Oil Kings and the Seattle Thunderbirds, or the AHL Milwaukee Admirals. And some of those, I think, are teams that feed into bigger NHL teams. But as far as I could tell, Luke didn't ever actually get to play. And in fact, at the time, he was like one of the people lauded him as being one of the first out ones. The NHL has a recently pretty checkered history in regards to its support in the LGBTQ plus community.
A specific event that I think you're about to address.
I hope so. Yeah. So hockey sticks, players put tape on them so they have good grip. And for other reasons that I don't know because I don't play hockey.
And if you need more information about that, go to Handle Me. Go to the Handle Me episode and listen to that one.
That is exclusively a real and accurate look of how NHL hockey really works for real. Yes. Nothing about that is wrong or inaccurate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the NHL players started using pride-themed grip tape on their sticks, just kind of to be supportive, just kind of nicely. And the NHL didn't originally have a problem with that. And then as they started to be more inclusive about like the queer community in hockey, they started to have a problem with it. So in 2023, they tried to ban pride tape on hockey sticks, despite having previously not had a problem with it. And shout out to Travis McDermott, who, while playing for the Arizona Coyotes, used the tape anyway later that season. And eventually they just decided to not ban that anymore because it's stupid.
What?
Because it's stupid.
Look, let's get political for 5 seconds and talk about the dumb shit that people try and ban.
You can't
what?
Have rainbow. Like, first of all, the reason you're doing it is shitty and bad.
Yeah, we know you're doing it to be homophobic.
And even if you try, like, there isn't a way you could explain it that isn't homophobic that would even remotely make it justified. Like, the colored tape matters. In what way? You tell me. It doesn't. You're all full of shit. Yeah. Anyway, Travis still maybe plays for the Minnesota Wild or the Edmonton Oilers. It's hard for me to keep track because they're between seasons right now. But he had said at the time when he was using this tape anyway, essentially like he's seen the impact of hate on queer people around him and wanted to just not support that. So yeah, it's not banned anymore. Yeah. But also this happened in 2023 and it's 2025.
I was looking up the year for that because I remember it happening and being like, that was like yesterday.
Ooh, recently. But also almost not recently enough because it kind of would have expected it in 2025 proper at this point.
Yeah, not where we are now.
Anyway, so no, not really. I don't think that our friend Luke Prokop got to actually go out on the ice for an NHL team that I was able to find. And nobody else in hockey is, that I could immediately find.
Here's what I find
being outwardly gay. But please come out on our podcast if you want to, Malk.
Do it. Come hang out with us. But what I find really interesting is that we do have a huge hockey romance genre.
Yes.
So it is almost like this, like,
it's a little weird,
repressive, like, we're going to overly do this one thing because it's not being done in real life. I don't know. I will say then there's a whole argument about women writing male-male romances, and that's a whole nother conversation. I don't know if you're going to mention the Pink Pony Club in your research.
No, yeah, please.
Can I mention this? That I would like recently it came out. I shouldn't say, I mean, like, I see an article here that's from 5 days ago, 8 days ago, but the Edmonton Oilers revealed that their song that they play after every like game is Pink Pony Club.
Great.
So now the fans have like fully embraced this really gay song.
Very gay.
As like the team's song, which just feels like, you know, if we want to start making a list of like how NHL team and, you know, athletes have responded to that whole tape thing, I feel like people were like, we're going to make it extra gay.
You should
now
always...
that you're going to do this, we're going to be petty as fuck.
Anything anti-gay should always be fought with something doubled down as gay as possible.
Triple the gay if you can.
Maximum gay overdrive.
Precisely. Please continue with your research.
That is basically the conclusion of my research. I saw that as of at least still in 2023, no NHL player, active or retired, has come out as gay. So because my searching didn't find any more, I'm going to say that that's probably still true. But I believe that you're out there.
You know, athletes have responded to that whole tape thing. I feel like people were like, we're going to make it extra gay.
You should
always. Now that you're going to do this, we're going to be petty as fuck.
Anything anti-gay should always be fought with something doubled down as gay as possible.
Triple the gay if you can.
Maximum gay overdrive with a gay man and maybe get stuck in there and find yourself.
Just hit the emergency brake on it. Yeah, like
just until you really feel like you can say who you are.
Yeah. We're going to jump back in because the tension between these two and the lack of AC are really heating up the space. All right.
Uh-huh.
Let's not forget that our boy Graham had to run to grab the elevator. So he was already sweating when he got in there.
And should be incredibly nervous because he's ruining his friend's bed.
Yes. And Graham is like, I don't want to freak you out, but I need some relief. And I've got a wedding when this starts back up. So I need to take this tux off so I keep it sweat free. Like, I'm already like sweating profusely. I do not need to be showing up to this wedding looking like a wreck.
That's fair.
And Caleb's like, do whatever you got to do, man. So Graham does remove his jacket and his shirt. So he is now shirtless in the elevator with a hot hockey player.
In dress pants and some fancy shoes.
Probably. He does have a bow tie that he does remove. And I was like, what if you just kept that on?
I was just going to ask if he had a tie or a bow tie and if perhaps he could put that on without the shirt and the tux.
Just a like little.
For fun. Just a little,
just a little Chippendales moment. Just
a little, as a garnish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I should also note that they do dive into Graham's character too and like why he's been alone and that he hates his full-time job but loves to cook because his grandmother taught him after, you know, he lost his parents, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I don't want to dive too far into it because it's really just conversation. It's just character building.
It's just stuff you tell people when you're stuck in an elevator.
And you want to fuck them.
And you want to
They do at one point hear a noise outside the elevator. So they start calling for help and they decide, you know what? Caleb is one hunk of a man. He can lift Graham up so he can yell better outside of that gap on the top of the door.
Uh-huh.
And so they decide to, you know, have him lift him up. And when he does lift him up, Graham realizes that Caleb is also shirtless. hot. And he's like, look, I also was sweating in here. All right. If we were going to start removing clothing, I was also going to do it.
I just would have announced it first. That's all.
Yeah. But
it's a horrifying thing to be surprised by.
But I mean, if you're taking your shirt off and you're a man and you both are men, like, I should be able to take my shirt off too. Well,
yeah. No, I don't disagree. Although I still would have announced it first because, you know.
He does say, if it makes you uncomfortable, I'll put my shirt back on. He was like, no, please don't.
Okay. That's what please don't. I just imagine, forget all of that. Then just imagine being in pitch blackness. You know, you're shirtless. That's all you know. And then you go to have a man grab you to hoist you. And then you realize he's shirtless. Would you not just be like, whoa?
It's just like flesh. The jump scare of like, yeah, I went to go.
Skin.
Yeah. Skin on skin. Yeah. But obviously this is hot and they're obviously. Like touchy, touchy. And after they yell out of that little space, they realize that what they're hearing is actually people stuck in other elevators also calling for help.
Oh my God. They're like,
oh yeah, we are not the only ones in an elevator.
Horrifying.
I know. No, it was kind of like a Titanic moment of like, oh my God, the screams of people. So when Caleb sets Graham down, Graham kind of falls a little bit and like Caleb steadies him. Mm-hmm. And then he just holds him for a little bit, you know, like when he's mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to let you go.
Yeah, she's kind of lingering.
Yeah. And so when Graham asks, what should we do while we wait? Caleb says, fuck, you're driving me crazy.
Well,
and Caleb confesses that he kind of want to kiss his Graham. Kind of wants to kiss Graham is what I was trying to say. And Graham says, why not?
Why not take a crazy chance?
So they start going to town, making out. Tension breaks. We are now on it, you know? Mm-hmm. So Caleb is backing Graham up against the wall. He lifts him up. Graham wraps his leg around. It's very, we're ready to go.
Yeah, right? It's happening, Captain.
Because he is also a big, hot, strong hockey goalie. So mm-hmm. he's got the muscles.
Yeah.
And they start to essentially dry hump each other, and each man is like fantasizing about how far things can go. And just as they're about to take it a little bit further than like dry humping and making out, a voice calls down to them, hello. Now I will disclose that there is a light on. They do have one of their flashlights on.
Oh, okay.
But based on how the like small that gap is and stuff, you, and where they are in the elevator, no you one can really see.
Yeah, see in
them.
Sure.
So they do kind of freeze in their position of like being close and like clearly intimate with each other. And the guy yells down and essentially says like, the storm took out most of the power on the strip and like the generators failed, but they are working on getting it back up in the next, within the next hour. Like, I'm going to come back to you guys. I promise. Like,
thank you.
And, yeah. Thank you. And then this guy heads out. So now they're back to being alone. Caleb can't make himself move away from Graham, but he's also like, again, having this crisis of like almost being caught, even though he knows they didn't see anything.
Sure.
He's like,
understandable.
It's all of that idea of like just being in the closet and being so scared of anything that could out you.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this crisis for about 5 seconds. And then the light on his phone goes out because his phone dies.
Oh, no.
And now they're back in the dark and they're alone. And they get right back at
All right.
Yeah. And what proceeds to happen is essentially they grind on each other and then they proceed to give each other hand jobs. And for a 50-page book, it was a fairly descriptive hand job scene and mm-hmm. had a little bit of dirty talk in there. And as when I was giving the descriptions of the authors and what they write, it kind of makes sense that they're both like, yeah, we like a happily ever after. We like the hearty stuff. We like mm-hmm. the happy and the slow burn. So this did kind of meet that criteria to me. I didn't feel like it was like the smuttiest thing in the world, like some things we've written or
I've been writing smut.
This is actually all of Hope's work.
This has been my book the entire time. Different fake names for every book.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, it does kind of fit the criteria of like a heartfelt story with this little steamy scene that we've got thrown in here.
Right.
So once they've both completed, they clean themselves up with Caleb's shirt because he's like, well, I don't have a wedding to go to after this, so we should probably use my shirt to clean up all the ejaculation.
That would be appreciated, assuming that my friends still get married.
Or if that's still happening. Me. But after this sexy time, it's a little awkward because both men are internally wanting to get to know each other more. Like, they kind of want to be like, hey, do you want to go grab a drink later? But outwardly, they're kind of acting like, oh, that was weird. Like, oh, what a crazy little hookup in an elevator.
They're acting like two dudes pretending to be straight.
Yes.
Like they accidentally fell and gayed.
Oh, but no homo, dude. Like, oh, no. I will never get over how that was like a whole statement, like in the late 2000s, early 2010s, uh-huh. of like people saying shit like that. Okay. Anyway, so before, like, one of them wants to kind of suggest that they see each other later, but before they can, like, the lights flicker back on and voices call down to them, like, we'll be with you shortly, like, we'll get you help, you know? And so they're like, fuck, okay, this is over, this is done, right? Yeah. So now, in the light of the elevator, they're faced with the harsh reality of what they've done and who they're with, right? They're like,
okay. Handies in an elevator.
We just did handies in an elevator. They only have a few moments to kind of decide how they want to move forward before the elevator doors open up. And Caleb confesses, like, maybe this isn't the last time I want to see you, you know, like but I'm also like, I don't do this. I don't really know how to do this. I don't
get stuck in elevators and then give handies to guys who just came out to me.
Well, he does actually say that, but he also
except for this one time when I did do
he's like, you're saying you've never done this before. But he's also like, I am like a celibate monk. Like, I have kept my identity so in the closet that I don't even know how to like flirt or ask you on a date and what a date would look like. You know, all of that stuff is very kind of paralyzing to him. So again, it's kind of got this emotion and heart behind it that I was like,
oh no.
Oh no, baby Kay.
You can see each other again.
But Graham was super cool about this because, as we know, Caleb's phone is dead. So he hands him his phone and says, I'll text you my number and you can choose how you want to move forward. Okay. Like, I am cool if you want to contact me or not, even though he's like, I really do want you to contact me. Mm-hmm. But he's like, if you do, we can just hang out or we could give each other blowjobs. You know, whatever you're comfortable with.
We can upgrade one notch to blowjobs or we can just be friends.
Yes.
Just whatever.
And after Graham offers this, Caleb kind of laughs and says, quote, blowjobs, that's one hell of an elevator pitch. Got him. There's the title of the book.
And book title.
Our friend Addie and I go to a lot of movies. And anytime we get to the point in the movie where they say the title of the movie, she always turns to me and says, they said the title. And I'm like, yeah, no, I heard it. Like, I heard it the first
time. Like, that's. It's Incredibles 2.
Yeah, it is Incredibles
2. You know that part where Mr. Incredible says, we're Incredibles 2.
2. T-O-O, like, not 2. T-W-O.
I said it.
I see why you did it. But, okay, so there, again, Caleb is kind of like, I'm into this idea, but I'm also still having a crisis over it. And when they finally get out of the elevator, the doors open, and these firefighters kind of have a moment of shock when they see Caleb, and they're like, hey, aren't you that hockey player? And Caleb is like, who are you talking about? And Graham goes, you mean like Caleb Burnside? I know it's uncanny, but too bad it isn't Caleb Burnside, because that would be a crazy story if I just got stuck in an elevator with like an NHL player. And then they play it off and walk away. like, no, I'm not that guy.
Yeah, he's not that guy.
So they go their separate ways. And Caleb is just spinning. He goes to his room. He puts his phone on the charger. And he takes a shower where he does masturbate to the idea of Graham.
Sure.
He goes back in and he starts really looking at himself in the mirror, genuinely, actually, literally. And he's like,
this is gay.
He's like, I am gay. I am no longer a coward. I've given a handy in an elevator. I'm ready to go. And so he opens up his messages, which Graham sent him like 3 messages.
Okay.
And he says, he says, this is Graham.
Good start.
Then he sends an eggplant emoji with, what? I'm a chef. I like vegetables. And then the last one he says, you choose? And Caleb looks at that last message.
How does he want to move forward? Give him a lot of time to choose.
Yeah. It's like, how do you want to move forward? And after typing out a few options, Caleb types, I choose you.
Pikachu.
The end.
Wow. Aww. Aww, the end.
It was a little shocking when I turned the page and it was done. I was like,
I think it could have ended at, well, that was an elevator pitch, and we could have just
it could have
stopped it right there and it would have been perfect.
But it had too much heart. And Caleb had too much of an internal struggle that he needed to make the move. You know what I mean? Sure. He needed to be the one that was like, all right, I'm going to go forward with this. Right?
Yes.
So how do you feel?
Pretty good.
It was a heartfelt book.
I'm so glad we're not stuck in the elevator anymore. No. Very stressful.
I know. It's literally my nightmare. Let's go through our scorecard. Okay. First of all, diversity. Obviously, we had a gay couple getting married. We had a gay couple in the elevator. We had one person who was out who said he really didn't have a struggle kind of coming out of the closet that some people do. Whereas the other one was like, I don't even know if I can come out of the closet. I thought that also showed some range of character experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there wasn't much diversity outside of that.
Sure.
Plot. Where are you at with the plot? What would you score the plot?
I'm going to give the plot a 4.
There was an
emotional journey. There was logistically in the story a lot of things happening, like the wedding, which I don't know if it happened or not, or if those two friends hate Graham or anything. If he ever got the rings, such a mystery to me.
yeah, no, I fully agree with that.
I really enjoyed myself.
Smut, I will confess I'm giving it a 3 because it did get pretty descriptive. There was some dirty talk, like he was saying, like, come all over me, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, there was some smut, but I was kind of hoping for more. I was kind of hoping for a little more. So 3 for me. What about you?
I'm going to bump it up to a 3.5 for the risque factor of technically having pretty public sex.
Oh, that's fair. That's a fair argument. And then I do have the cover there for you to explain to our readers. It is a pretty, in my mind, generic rom-com cover that you see nowadays.
I would say this looks like I would think it would look. Yeah, picture a big elevator going up to level 8, if you were curious. And this is kind of classic cartoon illustrated romance novel art style. Two men in an elevator, one blonde, a tux, a bow tie. That's Graham. You can tell that he's going to get some rings he absolutely forgot, hopefully in his hotel room and not somewhere else. And next to him, a brunette in some dark pants. And thank goodness they did this or I wouldn't know who he was. A sweater that has 2 hockey sticks on it.
Yep, absolutely.
That's definitely Caleb. Wouldn't have been able to tell otherwise. So thank God for that. And then it says, elevator pitch by A.M. Johnson and Christina Lee. It's cute. There could be more happening, but honestly, it's showing a lot given that the action of this story happens largely in a pitch black broken elevator.
Yeah, that is true.
This is just like when they came out at the end.
Yeah, for like indie authors, for a novella, I'm happy with a 4. So what are you going to give it?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4 too. Pretty good.
Okay. Well, I will say that ends with me at a 73% and you at a 76%. I really feel like we're lacking in the smut category. But what was your say smut moment from this book?
What was my say smut moment from this book? Because honestly, I guess I wasn't blown away by handies in an elevator.
That's what I kind of thought. I was like, but I mean, this is a virtual stranger. You guys don't have protection.
Yeah, the whole thing conceptually is a say smut. And if you suspend your disbelief for the whole scenario to enjoy the book, then the minute stupid detail say smut thing is just the experience of being shirtless and then touching your guy you suddenly realize is also shirtless and just kind of being frightened by that a little bit.
Which
doesn't even really happen in the book. It's just a scenario we made up in my head. And you're
well, he kind of did have that moment where he touched him and he was like, oh. And then he was like, do you want me to put my shirt back on? I am also sweating profusely. And he was like, no, you're fine.
But I don't know that I'm like, well, say smut.
Yeah, I think mine say smut moment would be, first of all, yeah, handies, not a huge deal, but I couldn't get over how much they were probably sweating.
So sweaty, so hot.
I'm like, it's so sweaty, so hot. And I will say the moment that did give me like a, oh, that's a fun plot twist, was when Caleb recognized Graham or knew who Graham was,
yeah,
but not the other way around, which is funny and ironic. But
I thought it was funny in a haha, this is horrifying, so I'm laughing to cope with it kind of way.
Yeah,
when they were hearing noise and realized that it was the noise of a bunch of other elevators being stuck.
That is true. That is very, very true.
Oh, just kind of creeped me out.
That is very accurate. So nice little endearing one for the books. And we will continue to make it gay through the rest of Pride Month. But in the meantime, you can find us, if you so choose, on TikTok and Instagram. Hey, we are running a giveaway for the next week on Instagram.
We've got
Savor It by Tara DeWitt. And a beautiful book sleeve from Hannah Banana Fabrics. So go check that out. Additionally, we want to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at saysmutpodcast@gmail.com and pop us a rating or review on that podcast platform of your choosing. Yeah. Some of you, I see you. You're on YouTube. Give us a like.
Yeah.
Do it.
In there.
It's free. Do it if
you... Likes are free.
Yeah, do it. It costs nothing. If you really feel it in your heart and soul and you're like, I would give a handy an elevator to these girls. I would.
That's a safe moment. If you would give us a handy in an elevator, please like and subscribe to this podcast.
Absolutely. That's how we'll know. Email
just to let us know that's why.
It's a cute meet cute, isn't it?
Yep.
In the meantime, stay dry and clean. I just don't like the concept of sweating profusely everywhere. That
don't forget your best friend's wedding rings.
Ooh, and, top of the list.
Don't let the NHL tell you what kind of tape you can and can't put on your hockey stick. Gay it up. I'm always saying that.
Fuck the homophobes. Fuck is the really homophobes. What it comes. All right. Well, stay smutty.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.